Turn with me in your Psalters, please, to Psalm 32 and 33 for our first reading. Psalm 32, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, a psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. There's no way we could do these two psalms anything that pertains to justice in just the short time that we relegate to our readings, but let's just look at a few things. First of all, a psalm of David, Maskil. That word maskil, you remember what that means? Here's a good way to remember. In Psalm 32, verse 1 in the Hebrew, you have the word maskil. In verse 8, you have the Lord. I don't know if you noticed or not as we were reading along, but 1 through 7 is the voice of the psalmist. Verse 8 picks up the voice of the Lord as he speaks to his people. And the Lord there says, I will instruct. That word instruct, same Hebrew word that we get maskil from. So then this is a wisdom psalm or an instruction psalm. Every time you see the word maskil in the psalm title, it's talking about a psalm that is intended for your instruction. Now, they all have a certain amount of instruction, obviously, but this one particularly, especially pertaining to verse 8, because the Lord there claims, He promises that He will instruct us, He will teach us. What is the instruction, then, of Psalm 32? The Apostle Paul picks up on Psalm 32 in his argument in Romans, talking about the imputation of sin and the imputation of righteousness. Notice that imputation is something that's a Hebrew word. And it's that same Hebrew word, by the way, that's used in Genesis chapter 15 when it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted, imputed, reckoned to him for righteousness. Same word. Same Hebrew word. What that's telling us is that there is indeed an imputation that must take place in each of us. Either, in all of humanity, either we will have our sins imputed to us, that is, the guilt, there's an ellipsis there, the guilt of our sins imputed to us, or we will have something else imputed to us, and that is righteousness, that is the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. One or the other, there is no middle ground. Either you will stand, you will be reckoned in your sins, or you will be reckoned in the righteousness of another. If you're reckoned in your own righteousness, that is tantamount to being reckoned in your sins. Because your righteousnesses, as you know, from Isaiah 64:6, are as filthy rags. So David says here, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Notice that David understood the doctrine of imputation. There are a lot of folks that would deny that to David. David here, by his own mouth, proclaims that he understands what imputation is, the doctrine of imputation. So David understands that. All right, so then he goes on to talk about the necessity of confession of sin, the necessity of repentance, the necessity of confession. And if you read any good commentary on this, most good commentators will tell us that we believe that this psalm was written after Psalm 51, but reminiscent of the same kind of scenario where David went for a time denying his sin. Psalm 51, of course, is the lament of David upon conviction of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And most commentators believe this also is a lament on that same time, but written after Psalm 51, and is instructive to tell us what happens to us when we refuse to confess and forsake our sins. When we refuse to confess and forsake our sins, what happens to those whom the Lord loves? What happens to those who belong to Him? The hand of the Lord presses heavily upon them. The Lord is a faithful Father who won't let you get away. If you refuse to acknowledge your sin, if you refuse to confess and forsake your sins, you can expect the hand of the Lord to press heavily upon you. David describes that for us in some fairly stark terms. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. For moisture there, write health. That's an ancient Near Eastern way of expressing that. And so what can you expect in your body from the Lord if you refuse to acknowledge your sins? Can you expect health and a lightened face? No, you cannot expect that. In fact, that is the worst thing for you in the world. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. The worst thing that can happen to you is that you sin and get away with it. That's the worst thing that can happen, not the best. The Lord will not let you get away with it. If you belong to Him, He will press His hand upon you and He will bring you to repentance. Why? Because He loves you. Let's go on down a ways for time's sake. The Lord picks up the narrative and he says, I'll instruct you. I will teach you. So don't do this. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Can I put this in a colloquial terminology? Don't make me put a bit in your mouth, is what the Lord is saying here. Don't make me do that. Don't make me put a bit in your mouth and jerk on those reins and pull you back into submission to me. Be not like the horse or the mule, which will not come near you without a bridle in their mouth. You're not a horse. You're not a mule. You're a reasonable creature created in the image of God. It is sad that we often behave ourselves as brutes, isn't it? That we behave ourselves as if we had no knowledge. Here, David encourages us. The Lord speaks through David, by the mouth of David, and says, I will instruct you, I will teach you. Be then not like the horse or the mule. Don't be stubborn against me. I'm holding out my hands to you. I'm pressing my hand upon you to bring you to repentance, to bring health to your bones and to your soul. Let's go on then to Psalm 33. I know we've run roughshod over 32, but there's quite a bit to think about there in even those brief comments. The absence of the title in Psalm 33 is an indication to many that 32 and 33 ought to be considered as companion psalms, right? So David continues the thought into Psalm 33. Of course, we wouldn't be dogmatic on that. There is no title there, but it is, I believe, indicative of the fact that they go together. And so the rejoicing of 32:11 continues in 33:1. I don't know if you've seen that or not. But the rejoicing of 32:11 continues in 33:1. Okay? So we can rejoice in that we do have a faithful Father, and that faithful Father will not allow us to go on in sin. I've told you about my little buddy Scott in California. You remember Scott? Yeah, Scott, who was begging his dad for a spanking over and over again, and his dad refused to give him a spanking. You remember that? Yeah. Dad, watch me while I disobey. Dad, are you sure to notice? Dad, will you please do something? We don't have that with our Lord. He's a faithful Father. Hebrews chapter 12 compares him as in the faithfulness of his fatherhood against the fathers of our flesh, who chastises as they thought good, but he for our profit. In other words, every time the Lord brings chastisement upon us, because he is a perfect Father, it's exactly what we need, tailored for us, causing us to turn unto him. So the rejoicing then that we see in Psalm 32, we continue in Psalm 33. Verses 4 through 7 speak of the reasons for praising the Lord with skill and with might. 1 through 3 speak of the use of instruments. And we often have to comment on this because we receive criticism for not using instruments. And, of course, we just believe that those were part of the Old Testament economy. That was part of the sacrificial system. And remember especially in the days of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29, where Hezekiah instituted his reforms, and take a look through that chapter and note carefully how instruments are used during those good and reformational days under good King Hezekiah, and see how the instruments were used, and you'll find there that they were used only to accompany the sacrifices as they were performed, that there was singing that went on during that time as well. And then there was other singing that went on apart from the sacrifices and apart from musical accompaniment. We've understood, as other Reformed Presbyterians have since the days of our Confession of Faith and even before, that that is indicative of the fact that instruments belong to the sacrificial system and not to the New Testament age. That's why we don't use them. Then we move on beyond verses 1 through 3 and 4 through 7. The reasons for praising the Lord with skill and might is that his word is right, his works are truth, he loves righteousness and judgment, the earth is full of his goodness, he is the creator, he spoke and it sprung into existence, his providence rules over even the mightiest forces of that creation. And so all of those things are pointers, are directions to our praise. And then Psalm 33 ends with the reverence that is due unto the Lord because of His powerful word, because He brings those who oppose Him to nothing, and because His will and His purpose is unstoppable and it is eternal. Notice what the psalmist writes there in verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spake and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Let's stand then and call upon that sovereign and eternal God whose